Welcome back, party pirates and rave ravagers, to another Cannonballs to the Wall, Paint the Town Blood Red, Party Like It's 4799 episode of Dead Men Roll No Crits. This is your social butterfly, Patrick, here, and joining me in shivering timbers and also timbering timbers are my four friends and your piratical players, Jabert, Rebecca, Seth, and Tyler. Hey, guys.
Hello. Timbery
shivers.
Yeah.
Hello.
Yeah, I don't think you can timber a shiver.
I mean, not with that attitude.
I wrote that out, and I was like, nah, they're going to call me on that one. I'll say timber. Also, this is episode 172. It's the first time in my notes that I wrote your guys' names out as just GRST. I got that lazy. I wrote Grist.
It's really convenient that all of our names start with different letters.
Mm-hmm. And they're alphabetical. They're in alphabetical order.
I will change that.
In this order that I put them in. Yeah.
I mean, even when you add in Drew and Miles, right?
Yeah.
You don't have any duplicates.
Well, kind of amazing. Podcast.
Like Tyler and I were going to, it's like, I was going to change my name to a T name and Tyler was going to change his name to an S name. And we both.
Yeah, I know.
It really, the like, Magi. It messes us up.
The Magi is the situation.
Rebecca, it really messed us up that we all had different last names too. And then you had to go and marry Drew.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
That
in
really
hindsight,
yeah.
I wish I hadn't
up.
Changed my name, but
oh, you know. I thought
you were gonna say
I thought that was going a different direction. I was just like, all right, Patrick, can you cut that out? Oh, I don't want to
know. Take two. Try that again, Rebecca. You flubbed that line. I actually did not want my wife to take my last name because she had the most beautiful name that flowed very well, and then just stick a Brennan on the end of it.
Brennan!
Do you super, super well, but she wanted it, and I was like, yeah, okay, it's yours. Yeah. I guess I can't say no. Also, that's a thing.
You could have pulled a switcheroo. You could have come back and been like, I changed my last name to yours, and now when you marry me, you're getting your name back.
John and I decided to keep our own last names, but in retrospect, it would have been kind of funny because no matter who took whose last name, it was going to confuse someone because his name is decidedly not white.
People don't even know how to pronounce it.
Incredibly white.
Oh my gosh, so good. So good. Guys, congratulations, first off, on getting to book 6 of Skull and Shackles.
Thank you.
The campaign Skull and Shackles, yeah. Congratulations on surviving to level 17, which is like 3 levels past, I think, where the actual first edition AP ended. And this is, you know, we haven't talked about it, like the fourth year, full year of Dead Men Roll No Crits. I think we would be celebrating that full anniversary in just a little bit. But I'm both happy and sad that we're in this final book's adventure and also final year for the podcast. This is it.
That is crazy to me that we've been playing this game for 4 years. I still think of this as the new podcast, you know, like we just started playing this.
we've played this way longer than any Cosmic Crit season.
It's true.
Like, you're not even close.
It's when you're having fun.
It's such a difference between those bite-sized adventures in Starfinder. I mean, for example, this last book 5, was 30 episodes. Book 4 was like 40 episodes. The like one season of Cosmic Crit, the 3-book season, was like 42 episodes. So it's like, it was very short, which is why I sometimes refer to each of these books as kind of like a season of Dead Men Roll No Crits. Mm-hmm. That didn't take on because I think it would have been confusing, but there's no season 2 for us. They're not making a pirate adventure in second edition, at least not anytime soon. So we can't, at the very least, we can't use this title, Dead Men Roll No Crits, again. It's not going to work.
I mean, it would work.
There's
actually,
a number
no,
of ways
it,
we could make it work.
Yeah, if as long as all of us were pirates, it works.
Or what if we were all dead?
Yeah.
That would also work.
We're all dead. And,
undead men roll no crits.
Undead men roll no crits.
There is the AP that takes place in the Mana Wastes.
Yeah, the one in Geb or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. Neb.
Yeah, dude.
That would work.
Yeah, dude, let's, we
title
can,
still
can.
Very much appropriate.
Or we
like
just
like
change
how
it.
Patrick's
Deadman
just like,
crits.
Well, no matter what we do, this name doesn't make sense anymore. And 3 of us are like, what are you talking about?
How about
got tons
roll,
of ideas.
Dead Man Roll some crits.
The sequel.
Every once in a while, crits.
Hold on a second. I can't tell if you were joking or not that they're not going to have a pirate-based AP in Pathfinder 2.
Well, I mean,
I haven't heard
of one yet, but...
Oh, in second edition?
That seems like
no.
Such an obvious thing to do. They have
a whole setting for it, yeah.
That. Yeah, okay.
Well, they have a ton of other adventures. We can always play something else in the future if we wanted. There's, I mean, already like four or five that have been published that, you know, I haven't been able to do touch. I kind of, you know, I don't regret going back to a first edition to change it, but there's so many good ones in second edition already. Like,
there's a lot of great stuff.
The one that's in like the fighting tournament was very fun. I'm playing with, I think I mentioned Tweens at the library, the Mwangi Expanse, yeah. Strength of Thousands, Harry Potter-esque one, and they're loving that. And then we're in book six of Agents of Edgewatch in Tiburton Mind's home game, which is also our fifth Pathfinder campaign in total over like 14 years, something crazy like that.
I've been playing with these guys for a long time, and they've been playing for longer than me. So,
yeah, you joined like book three or four of
maybe even five.
Rise of the Rune Lords. Yeah, it was pretty late. You brought in a alchemist,
a scary alchemist that was kind of part of the reason he was so scary is because I didn't know all the rules.
the scariest player, I refuse to read half the rule book.
I do 80 damage, I think. What do you mean, sure. You think? I mean, I'm just rolling the dice. I don't know.
But yeah, I'm very excited about book six. Book six, I mean, it's going to start off a little slow, but it does turn into a very climactic finale. But that should take us all the way to episode like 200 of this podcast.
Oh. Nice. Yeah. Nice. Oh,
and you guys are going to gain like three levels over
episodes. I was thinking about, you know, the Barnabas fight and how difficult it was, and I realized that perhaps it was so difficult because Patrick just didn't want to prep book six.
That's how these heroes stories end.
And
Swords of Barnabas Kerrigan.
Yeah, he admitted it that he kind of wishes that we had just played a second edition campaign, and that's what he was gunning for. He's like, I'll just kill him with Aragorn, and then I'll say, well, we could make new characters, or and he would have had us. He would have absolutely had us.
I wanted to bring up a thing real quick before we get too going. Have any of you seen this Infinite Craft thing that's been making the rounds?
No,
say more, John.
Back in the day of like early mobile games and stuff, you might have seen something called like Alchemy.
Oh, yes.
In the App Store, or like Doodle God or something like that. So somebody basically took that concept and then plugged it into generative AI. So they don't have a bunch of predetermined combinations. You literally combine two words and then the AI tries to figure out if they go together by just, I guess, thinking about things it knows about different words and then just...
Is
makes
that what
a combination?
Is that what this is in your Discord?
Yes.
What the?
Yes.
I'm so confused by.
Oh yeah.
This is Fever, this is Buddha, Darth Vader. That was made in this game.
Yeah. Yes. I have come up with a lot of very strange things, and it's also very funny to just like watch the AI mess things up. Because at one point, I unlocked Islam as a term, like the religion, and I had pork. So I took pork and I put it on Islam, and John was watching me and he's like, haram? And then, like, after it waited for a moment, it goes halal, and we're like, no. But then I had the word opposite and I put it on halal and it changed to haram, and haram had a picture of a pig on it, and I'm like, right.
I just played this for like 10 seconds and I made a unicorn. That was impossible.
It's crazy.
Unicorn happened so quickly.
You can get there.
Patrick's speedrunning mythical creatures, apparently.
Yeah. Well, boy, that's awesome. All right.
Yeah,
well, I feel like
mythical creature speedrun.
Yep.
80%.
We'll play with this after the episode. Yeah. Yeah. Let's get into it. Let's talk about what happened in your guys' leveling up to 17. I know you have like 8 characters in total, but maybe just mention one thing that happened across those 8 so we're not here all night, and the other 4 we'll talk about, I guess, when they come up in the adventure. Anybody want to start
with
man. Something?
I just talk about Cassius for just a second. I've been dying for level 17, yearning for it, lusting after it, one might say.
Please don't say that.
Because that is when my celestial wings become permanent. They're permanent. I have them forever now. So I can just wake up in the morning, 2-action them, whoosh, and then I don't have to worry about them for the rest of the day if I so wish.
Can you wear them kind of like bat wings, like a cowl almost? Like you're just like breathed in water?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
I feel like you'd be splashing a lot of people if you didn't.
I think I could definitely. I could be this. You could call me the super soaker pirate because I'm just splashing people with my wings, my water wings.
That's what I'll do. I'll call you the super soaker pirate.
There you go. I think there's some other things happened at that level, but yeah, who cares? I got wings.
Yep. Okay, cool. All right. So I'm on top. Permanent wings.
Let's see. Bartleby got an ancestry feat.
Everyone did, right?
Yeah. Instinctive obfuscation. It's a gnome feat. It is.
I dare you to say that 3 times, Jabert. Fast.
Instinctive obfuscation. Never mind. I'll just describe what it does. Basically, it's a reaction once per day. If I'm attacked, I can gain the effects of mirror image. And so, pretty good. It's like a lesser mirror image. So it's like 2 images instead of 3. But
still, what a great card.
Yeah. You know? Right. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. For sort of somebody who's not supposed to be up in the front, you know, it's a good like whoopsie.
Yeah.
It's a good whoopsie option.
Yeah. How many times have you done like a burst heal on like undead or even for us in the past? We've been like, oh, kill the healer.
Yeah, and then Candoso's got a bounce back. So the first time I lose my dying condition, I don't gain the wounded condition. So
classic.
Day. Yeah. So I'm basing this off of our Agents of Edgewatch game, where around this time things got real deadly.
I mean, the guy already did, but yeah, no, book 6. I am. It's really quite a short book, but it is a lot of crazy fights, crazy stuff. And like I said, we mentioned Jabert and I never played this in first edition when we went through this campaign.
Yeah, we're both going in blind.
Yeah. All I know is like one monster that I was like super bummed I didn't get a chance to play with. And I can't wait to play with him or her or it. Seth or Rebecca?
I'll go. Alaris is finally after all of the sailing she's done throughout this campaign, has learned enough to be considered legendary in sailing lore. So good for her.
I'm sorry. There's not going to be any more sailing in this pirate AP. We've already done it all. So.
We never take to the seas again.
Yeah.
From now on, it's just flying. Wee.
Ichigo Greg comes out of a shop covered in soot. I just invented the engine, the combustible engine.
No, it's the rest of the adventure takes place on this island.
Oh boy.
No, flashbacks
sometimes.
To book 4, the Isle of Empty Eyes. I never want to go back. And it's our home base.
That's your island.
That happens sometimes in these games where it's like you'll get up to like a high level and you'll be like, oh yeah, now I have this and I can go anywhere. It's like, great, you'll never go anywhere.
Yeah, welcome to a dungeon.
oh, you got plane shift? Good news.
I mean, Honto is now legendary in both acrobatics and athletics.
Oh my gosh, the two biggins.
And it has an AC of 41 while not wearing any armor.
Who needs armor? Seems like it's overrated.
Yeah. Armor schmarmer.
Yeah, so, I mean, aside from that, I mean, I guess the class DC went up. Finally, nice. Monks take forever for that, I guess, for some reason.
Does this hit a master at this point?
Yeah, finally. Yes.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. It seems like other classes hit master earlier than 17, but
yeah, it's all Cassius. Yeah, I think I hit it for my caster, for Kendoso at least. I hit master spellcaster at 15.
Wait, have I been missing that? Where is that mentioned?
For rogue, I think for the rogue you got it at level one, so I don't think you needed to worry about it.
Yeah. It's all based on class. Like your classes get things at different levels. So
I don't do rogues really have anything that are class DC related?
Oh, poison, I'm sure, maybe. I don't
know. No, I don't think so. I think no, because poisons are typically tied to the individual poison that
you have. Hold on, I have a barbarian too. Like, same question. Like, I'm just trained for class DC on both of these. Is that wrong?
You might want to go to your class and then search class DC, like specifically that phrase, and see if it goes up at any point. You just missed it.
Yeah, some of them don't.
Yeah,
but
it's just not important for some. It's just that the monks get spells, right? Like key spells.
Okay.
So.
Okay. Oh, yeah, I just missed it.
Rogue expertise. Yeah, your techniques are now harder to resist. You go to expert. I don't think you get to master.
All right.
We'll play the level 22.
No, you do at level 19.
Wow. It'll be here before you know it.
I thought Hunter was a late bloomer.
Now I have to look at barbarians and see how far behind Sharga is.
That is also an expert master level 19. So, because I just looked that one up too.
So same thing?
Yeah, same thing.
Okay, great.
So plus two. So you got that going for you. Okay. Are you guys ready to get back into this week's episode? Almost, probably. This week's episode is going to start right where we left off with you having bested Barnabas, having harangued a Harrigan in combat aboard the deck of the Wormwood. And we now return to night settling in over the Isle. Candoso settles many of the wounds on your old captain's chest, stabilizing him, stopping him, you know, from succumbing, because he was also almost near dead. Is there anything the four of you say on this momentous occasion? You're standing over your defeated former captain and Sharga, this guy you just met. Anything you want to say?
Cassius like flicks one of his wrists and you see a bottle of rum pop out of it. And then
that wrist rum?
Yeah, I've got wrist rum. And I can't throw it to...
Isn't that from Diablo?
And I'll toss it in the air over to Sharga. And then I'll flick the other wrist, and then out comes another bottle, and he'll say, like, well, the boogeyman of the shackles is finally dead. And he pops the top off, and he says, cheers to... Oh, I guess he's not dead. Let me take that again.
You see, like, the wounds healing on him, because he's like, wait...
Let me try that again. I got a little overzealous there.
Kendoso stops for a second, and he's like, he pulls out his knife. He's like, you want me to do it? You want me to do it? I'll do it.
He's dead.
Sorry.
My mistake.
Cassius flicks his wrist, he pulls out his other bottle of rum, and he says, well, the boogeyman of the shackles is finally under wraps, and that is something that I will be drinking to for the next 5 days.
You guys can watch as some magic lights kind of flicker in the distance over Fort Harrigan, maybe like a little bit of a signal, as you hear some cheering, some far-off cheering from the towers there, like a half mile away, and you see the Jolly Roger of the Tidebreaker unfurled from that top tower you escaped from, where Harrigan popped out of just a few minutes ago. You see maybe Sandara Quinn there, Alaris behind her, each a hand on the black flag as it flies from the tower. It seems like indeed the rest of the crew has taken care of the remaining defenders, and we're completely out of combat. I don't have another monster on this island to take care of. Indeed, someone threw...
There's a slime monster.
Yeah, no, someone threw a bunch of bombs in that room and killed the slime monster So they call me the slime killer Mahim. Mahim the slime killer.
It starts playing the Ewok celebration song.
Oh,
eat chop yum dum.
Yeah.
Silly.
Yep. So that's what I've got. What do you guys want to do?
I don't know. What do you want to do, Petr?
I don't know. I need you to tell me.
I loot the room.
You loot the Wormwood? The deck of the Wormwood?
Hey, this is all my stuff.
Is there anybody
he
else
stole
on this
my
ship?
Stuff.
Yeah, so he seemed to have kowtowed the remaining pirates who stayed behind to guard the ship, you know, with the four demonette ladies who were
her guarding with him. They do have loot, and Harrigan does have loot. You want to strip him down, I guess.
I think it's less about looting and more about like preventing them from being a threat again.
Yeah. We talked a little bit. I did send Harrigan's loot for you to start looking at, because that's some of the highest in this campaign so far. He has the +2 striking returning dagger he made use of, a +3 major striking speed scimitar, these flying boots called winged boots, and indeed has a +2 greater runed resilient chainmail piece of armor that he's wearing. There's a vial of oblivion essence, a consumable poison that would have been real cool if some of you had just drank at the beginning of that fight.
Yeah, if I did not need to be harder, man.
You could have just talked it out and surrendered. That would have been...
Oh, yeah, that's true. That would have been an easier fight.
I would have approved of that. But the superior manacles are already in your possession. They are broken. And he also wears a bravery baldric, haste bravery baldric. There's not a way for him not to have haste. He's very hasty.
Does the baldric have a gate on it?
It has a haste gate. What did these ladies
really,
have?
Really lame joke. I'm sorry.
It's a Baldur's Gate joke.
I got it.
Cassius,
you didn't laugh, so I thought maybe you didn't get the joke.
These ladies have some longbows, some +1 striking composite longbows and great axes. And I think the effect of them flaming was actually something that they were doing. They are just +1 striking great axes, and each of them has +1 breastplate as well. Magical breastplate. So that's what these guys have, including Harrigan. And Harrigan also has on, looks like, a good amount of you know, piratey clothing as well. Yeah. He's kind of bold,
Cassius would definitely, you know, maybe look at Kendoso one sec and say, I trust you'll look after our former tormentor. I need to check on someone. He's gonna flot. Oh, would you can talk first.
I was gonna say, have fun. Bye bye.
Oh, thank you, mate.
I give him a kiss goodbye. A little smooch.
Yeah, you get a little wet from the wings.
Whoa. Oh, because he kisses the wings. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I thought he was really enjoying those wings.
They're good wings.
Like, it's like me in a TGI Fridays. I'm just going down on those wings.
TGI Fridays, man.
That joke works because there's truth in it, Seth.
I see.
It works because there's too much truth in it. I ordered 18 wings a couple weeks ago at a TGI Fridays, and I didn't appreciate my decision-making that night. Kind of came back to bite me in the butt afterwards.
What do you guys think? Ranch? Blue cheese?
Blue cheese. Gosh.
I always do just blue cheese.
Ranch cheese.
I have a really soft spot in my heart for TGI Fridays.
You have a soft spot in your heart because of TGI Fridays.
Well, that too.
No, it's not soft. It's a murmur. Everyone gets them eventually.
Right. It's natural for us people who like to frequent TGI Fridays. Yeah, no, I went in there, I don't know, I would go in there like once a week, like way back in the day when I had no money, and I was like, I would go in and I'd be like, it was my one day when I was allowed to eat out per week. And I was like, I would like a grilled chicken, please, and some steamed broccoli, please. And be like, okay. And I'd be like, could I also have a Coors Light, please? It was like the cheapest meal in the whole world. It's like, because it was like, I think they just don't know what to do when you order off menu for like, just when you just eat garbage.
When you order sad person food.
Sad food. They're just like, I don't know, $4? Like, whatever.
Yeah. Like, you seem sad. Somehow they paid you to get out of the restaurant. They're like, take your steamed chicken and beer and go.
Steamed chicken. No, speaking of Coors Light, apparently it didn't used to be in Nebraska. But then I heard, obviously, because this is before my time, that movie Smokey and the Bandit came out. And then, like, everyone in Nebraska is like, oh, we got to get this beer. That looks so good. So, like, there was this campaign to get Coors Light to get to Nebraska, and it did. And everyone's like, all right.
My dad used to talk about beer.
My dad used to talk about that. Like, so I was mentioning to him, like, oh, you know, I enjoy, like, you know, I like some cheap beers, too, like some Coors Light. And he's just like, man, times have changed. And I was like, what do you mean? He's like, that was the beer that, like, when somebody said, I'm driving out west, you'd be like, you gotta bring me back a case of Coors Light, because it was, like, the good beer. Like, for him, growing up in, like, Delaware.
I love it.
That was, like, back in the day beer. When there was, like, four beers.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
there weren't many to choose from.
And none of them, there were no imports, right? There were no imports. Yeah. You got rice beer or you got nothing.
What's Heineken? What's Guinness? Sapporo? What is that?
Just to bring it back to pirates here, the grog ration of the Royal Navy was about 55% AB in a diluted in a pint, and then like a 3-to-1 ratio says Wikipedia here. So that's like 17% alcohol.
Still a lot.
With water. That's you're getting drunk. The pirates that have rated this four have a lot of alcohol, which to call their own. Cassius, you were leaving the wormwood.
They call that pirates looty. Or dang it. I was trying to say pirates brutie. But I did.
Oh, yeah.
That's beauty.
That was not a pirate beauty.
not a pirate beauty.
It was more like a pirate tootie.
Yeah, but it was pirate screedy. Yeah.
Where's Cassius going?
I just wanted to go see what my family's up to.
Yeah. Tell him about my good pirate broody joke, I shout as Cassius flies away.
It's like one of those ones where it's like you tell a joke, but it doesn't do as well as you think it should. So you try it on a different group of people later.
Right. Yeah. They're going to love it. Your family's going to think this is hysterical.
Well, you know what's bad when you're like, your friend's like, hey, can I try out this joke on you? And I'm like, oh, no. And they're like, oh, what happened? And they're like, well, I said it in front of a bunch of people and they all just stared at me. It's like, well,
let's try for round two. Right, you get back up to the tower here in Fortress Harrigan, flying up on watery wings as you do. And you see maybe Bartleby tending to the villagers and your family, including the old crone Nud. She kind of stands up and is rubbing her hands where she was maybe tied. Not super tight, but, you know, enough that it's a little uncomfortable. And she goes, and as you come into the room, she'll go up and throw her arms around you, Cassius, and says, my boy, you're okay. What has happened here?
Just a rather crazy pirate who wanted to get an advantage against me and my crew. I'm so sorry you were dragged into this nasty spot of business.
No, it is I who am sorry. I'm sorry for dragging you into this. Can you take me to him? Can you take me to Harrigan?
You want to see Harrigan, but I mean, I suppose I can, but I can't imagine why you would want to see that man again after all he's done.
Please, please, Cassius.
Cassius, maybe, you know, like his eyes scan the room. Maybe he sees, you know, Alaris, his eyes land on Bartleby, and you kind of just, he just looks maybe confused but maybe he nods at you guys, you know, maybe a quiet thank you for looking after his family. And then you see his watered wings spread out as he, you know, picks up Nadja and flies off back towards.
Oh, I was just going to walk there. Okay.
And I'll make a strength check for actually carrying her. And if I roll a one, we'll just say I drop her. And
she's like 90, my guy. All right, yeah, make that roll. She weighs like 80 pounds.
If you drop this lady.
Absolutely.
We just became friends, Tyler, and I will defriend you immediately if you drop this old woman at this point in the story.
Well, also, Alaris stayed behind and helped her this whole time. You don't know what kind of bonding they've been going through.
That's true. That's true.
I would love this story from Alaris's perspective. It's like Cassius just is like, all right, come with me, and then takes her over to the window and immediately drops her out.
Butterfingers.
Like, oops.
I'm definitely not bitter about Patrick like saying that it's trivial to carry someone all of a sudden.
She's literally skin and bones.
Okay.
I'm not gonna stop you from carrying a child at any point, Seth. You're talking about people in armor and weapons and stuff. You're trying to carry Cassius.
I was trying to carry Alaris, actually, but...
You're trying to carry Alaris. She's a grown woman.
Yeah, have you seen her constitution modifier? Damn!
She got that
cat. She is petite. I put that in my character description. She is petite.
I'm sorry, I didn't read
that. For an adult woman.
You don't got that cat.
You got that. Right, so flying back to the Wormwood here. Some pirates have already started looting, bringing out loot to the ships, perhaps, when you get back here. What have you done with Harrigan? What are you going to do with Harrigan?
Oh, he's shackled and tied up to something.
We're all poking him with sticks.
The main mast. He's just shackled to the main mast.
Yeah, I'm Candoso is interrogating him about the spy. The spying he's been definitely doing. I'm telling him to give him spy.
But he's doing it as a chicken. So he's like pecks him in the foot.
Yeah. Doing questions. That's the most annoying way to be.
I mean, I think we have actual chickens. It just throws.
Tell me about the spy.
We do have regular chickens. Yeah.
And probably a duck. Maybe get him with a duck. Yeah.
Oh man.
What other feathered things could we throw at Barnabas Harrigan?
Oh, we're
dinosaurs.
Rot rock. You guys remember Rot Gut?
Yeah. Throw him.
Get in there. Right. As you sit down, Nadia Kajar kind of says, "Oh, thank you. That was something. Oh my." And she kind of looks over Barnabas Harrigan. You know, really goofed up. You guys have bruised him. You've shot him. You've slashed him. So he's got like 12 different on anyone else, like probably mortal wounds, and is just his black skin is just stained red with dried blood all over it. He maybe is like just coming to, kind of like shaking this off and spitting up white spittle with pink red blood in it. And
we throw salt water on him to wash him up, clean him off a little bit.
That seems like it would be refreshing, but yes. But yeah, so he wakes up a little bit as Nadia comes over to him, and she puts a hand on his cheek and says,
"Our poor little Dwali Nadia is here now. I am sorry for all that you have had to suffer."
Harrigan responds and says, "Great mother, I am sorry you had to see this."
Nadia comes over to you and says,
"Cassius, this one is kin to me, save the circumstances of these shackled seas may had been your brother. My daughter long ago left for the south, and she had a child there. I was only able to meet little Dwali once in Sanghor when my daughter passed, and we lost him completely. I thought him dead, but he came back."
So then when he came and took you from the village, why? I thought it was just to get at me.
How do you know this woman, Vel?
After the events at the Blind Banshee and the sea claimed me, I washed up ashore on the Mwangi coast, and it was her and that village that brought me back to health and raised me until I was old enough and strong enough to set sail on my own on the Phoenix. So
you took my ship. You took my childhood. Well,
spits on the deck.
I took fine gifts that apparently you were too stupid to see or too cold-hearted to want.
I was taken as a small boy by the pirates when my mother died, and when she left this world, all the good within it died with her. I did not know my family or where they were from. I decided to go back to those places along the coast to save them from what is to come.
Nadia looks over at you and your giant wings and says,
Cassius, he said, what was it that he meant about your tattoos? What has happened to them?
Cassius maybe shoots a dirty look at Harrigan. For why would you trouble this woman with these things? And then he says, it's not really anything that is particularly special. There's
There are people in this world that think they can tell the future, and they make up stories that people take too seriously, and, well, there's just a bunch of people who probably think that I'm something that I'm not, so they, you know, they fret about it, and they put their hopes and dreams into something that was just made up by some soothsayer or poem reader. Nothing to worry about.
Cassius, he said that he took us from the coast to protect us. He said something was coming and that none would be safe unless they were under his protection. My poor grandson, I hope within other seas beyond our own understanding that he is to find peace. I thank you for sparing his life, for understanding of perhaps why he did what he did.
Can you guys make me a perception check? Just general perception check. Alaris, if you want to, or Rebecca, if you want to roll with Alaris, she can have come down at this point from the fortress.
You mean walking on her little human feet?
Yeah.
Everybody flies off.
Or an old regular feet. Sorry. Well, I don't know. You're about to peel these.
I can't carry you. It's not possible.
You're about to peel these boots off of Eric's feet.
You're just too fat. You're gigantic. I can't lift you. It's not. It's not.
If only you had put in your character that you were petite. And
I think you can carry like someone one size category like below you, no problem. But
if you
not
have,
anyone bigger.
If you have 20 strength and you're legendary in athletics, no deal.
I didn't say you couldn't pick her up. I said you just can't like lug her around like a piece of luggage. I can pick you up right now.
Put a handle on.
Let's go.
So I guess a firefighter in modern day is like a higher level character than Honto.
Were you going to firefighter?
Or they're a large size category. I mean, that's possible.
No. When I'm thinking of someone like carrying someone, I'm thinking like kind of Superman.
Princess Gary?
Superman, yeah. Not over the shoulder.
Not the fireman's like, Gary.
Puffing and puffing. It's so funny. Like
there's so many ways to carry people.
I feel like my wife challenges me like once a year. She's like, you can't carry me. I'm too big. I'm like, you foolish fool. I have stupid dude energy running through me every once in a while that I can just like pick you up like a porcelain doll and spin you over my head.
Hey,
just
Patrick is more powerful than a level 17 monk, everyone. You heard it here first.
Well, the other part of that is like that, you know, you can't carry me around the house. And I'm like, oh yeah, watch me. And then I get a couple of steps and I'm like, that's good enough. I proved my point. Like, no, 20, I could, but I won't. Yeah, I could. I will be absolutely wrecked tomorrow if this goes through. It's not going to be a good look for me, but I could. I know in an emergency I'd have that.
My wife does the same thing. And I'm like, you know, you're not that big. She's like, I'm very big. I'm like, all right, come here.
Let's do it. Once a year, it's going to happen. Right. I'm looking at the perception checks here. And Cassius, you do notice his arm shackled around the mast. He is trying to, it doesn't look like he's trying to wiggle out of these chains, but he's trying to mess with his hands behind his back. You see his arms kind of twitching as he's talking to Nadia.
I'll put my boot on his hands, his arms. Can I do that?
Ah, yes, you do.
Oh, thank you. I'll lean down and I'll say to him, I know you're not used to not being in control here, brother, but why don't we just play nice? As long as Nadia's here, you're safe. So let's not do anything too rash. Aye.
Okay. If you take a look down at his hands, I mean, he doesn't have sleeves, so there's nothing like up his sleeve. He does have on a pair of gloves, very fine patent leather gloves, and scribed on the back of one looks like a scroll.
Get rid of those are gone.
My gloves now, my boots now, I'll my armor now.
I take the gloves, I take the scroll, I'll run over and I'll steal Mahim's gloves and I'll give them to Harrigan.
What?
I don't want to leave him gloveless.
Am I getting reimbursed for that, Captain?
Yes.
Yeah, his hands are so chilly now. What kind of ship are you running?
It's got chilling hands.
He has some really Kovic, embarrassing tattoos on his fingers that he wants to keep covered up.
Yeah, my mommy is my number one fan.
Or it's like thug love across the knuckles or something.
Oh, no.
No, inspecting these gloves, they're worth a good amount of money as well. These are gloves of storing. It's worth a few hundred gold
pieces. What's in them?
That's you want to put them on and activate them?
Yeah, I'm sorry, gloves of storing?
Yeah. Like, Rebecca didn't know
this was a thing.
No, you can have like bottles of rum in your wrists, just like you were just describing.
Yeah, I have the sleeves of storing, which allows me to keep.
Oh,
That's where those are coming out of. Yep, yeah, that's.
So with this, you could have your whole arm storing.
Oh,
all kinds
I could.
Of stuff.
I'm essentially a walking cabinet with these. Yeah,
I was about to say the gloves of storing are just one item. Indeed, when you activate them, a very large scroll case comes out. Big old leather metal stud scroll case.
Arrigan, you know only hoarders have gloves of storing on them, mate. This is embarrassing. What kind of scrolls you got in here?
And Cassie starts thumbing through them.
It's a rather large scroll case. You can pop it out, and there's a dozen maps, pieces of paper, maps of the shackles, maps of the coastline around the seacoast to the south along the mainland, but also a lot around Port Peril, Jeopardy Bay, the north, the south, leaning in. You see a dozen or so notes that seem to have been written in invisible ink that have been activated. And just thumbing through these, it looks like calculations, estimations, battle plan dating back, you know, years, several years worth of battle plans regarding, you know, all these notes, the strength, number, and qualities of many of the Shackle's different pirate fleets.
Cassius will say, Barnabas, please tell me that you didn't get all this information together just to sell it to the Chelish, did you? That'd be a prime disappointment even for you, mate.
Oh, no. No, it's already been done. You find also amongst these papers the Royal Chelish seals embossed on many of these notes.
They all begin clapping.
They are the most, I think, fastidious about marking some of their stationery. You see the emboss seal of House Thrun on many of these letters, indeed, some of which signed by agents of that devilish house, the same House of Cheliax that seems to be on the hunt for Bartleby, kidnapped Candoso when he was a child into the shackles, the same house whose network of spies you've interrupted and meddling in Shackle's affairs, testing the loyalties of the folks at the theater in Hell Harbor, or perhaps testing pirate crews along the Shackles and sinking ships with their great destroyers on the high seas, probably the largest naval house in all of Cheliax. This indeed seems to be evidence implicating the worst case scenario, which is Barnabas Harrigan having been perhaps bought and paid for by Cheliax for a long time. But yeah, the majority of this does indeed seem to be the plans for a invasion of the Shackles and perhaps just the destruction, if not sacking, of Port Peril.
Well, Nadia, this explains why he wanted you to be over here at his little Casa de Traitor. Looks like the Chelish are going to try and burn perhaps all of the Shackles to the ground.
Obviously, Harrigan, if you're allowing him to be conscious during this, has like the most evil, like, you know, insane laugh that starts as that low chuckle and then just kind of builds up. He's like, ends up coughing up blood, obviously.
All pirates?
It's a good hearty pirate laugh. He's like,
I've not been planning anything. The planning was done long ago. I've been enacting the plan.
Indeed, it looks, taking a look through these documents, a lot of them are written in like the present tense. Like, you know, it seems like this invasion is happening right now. Like this season, it is underway. And perhaps this campaign of blood has been set in motion for some time. You see notes regarding the momentary setback and pushing back by a season or so at the loss of the Isle of Empty Eyes, which was going to be like a staging point for the invasion on the outside of the Eye of Abednego. But yeah, but lots of notes. There's actually what looks like the oldest map in this scroll case. It's an ancient looking one, falling apart. It seems to be a map of Fort Hazard on the fortified isle in Port Peril, where Kurdak Bonefist has his throne. It seems to indicate a series of secret tunnels in the seabed of that island, perhaps when it was first settled by Hurricane Kings, you know, centuries ago, whenever it was fortified. I don't know when it was fortified. It's a great question.
I gotta say, people, when they make forts, they gotta stop making secret tunnels. I know it sounds cool when you're building it, but this is the problem. Adventurers always find an old map to a tunnel that no one remembers anymore, and they come popping out of some chandelier or nonsense.
Your twin brother that you put in a mask down there is gonna get help escaping by musketeers. Yeah. He's going to come back, and he's going to haunt you. You should have just killed him, but you didn't.
Yeah, and if you just didn't make the tunnels, none of that, you know, it's like, stop.
I'm gonna rebuttal that by saying, but Tyler, dungeon's cool. This is just it's a dungeon crafts, and they real cool.
I'm stymied.
But yeah, if you're, are you confronting Hurricane with all this? Are you flaunting these papers in his face?
I don't know, flaunting it in his face, but maybe telling him that it's time to spill the beans, or
I'm gonna put my arms behind my chair, so I'm like, here again, I'm gonna put my this kind of hurts. I'm hurting myself just putting like his. It's gotta be like he's gotta be like splayed out, like
yeah,
a big old timber. But he says, oh, you found out now how defeating me changes nothing. I've allied myself with powers that will shake the foundations of the shackles to its core.
I mean, yeah, you've really set back everything that the pirates have done here, and I'm sure that there will be a vast toll taken when this is all said and done. But in some way, you've also handed me a key opportunity, mate. While I am sure that the shackles will never be the same again, and perhaps he looks out over the fort or the sea, he's like, you've also probably just handed me the key to finding my greatest fortune yet. So, I appreciate that, Hurricane.
The friends we made along the way? Oh, no.
We made along the way.
What fortune do you speak of, Vel?
And Cassius gets that, like, wry smile. And he's like, and he says, oh, you already chose your side, Hurricane. Perhaps you can think about where you want to put your final alliances before the day of reckoning comes. And maybe then I'll share this with you. But for now, best let you stew on it.
I hate you, Cassius Vel. I hate all pirate kind. I was ripped from my mother's dying arms by a pirate. Watched as she choked on her last breaths. This is the world of your Kurdak Bone Fist. It's a sea that doesn't just applaud cruelty and slavery, but pays for it. Tooth and gold. I promised I would do everything it takes to kill that man. Kill Kurdak. Everyone that stands between me and him was made to suffer as well.
Well, the good news is that my last little present to you before wherever your stars land, you'll probably live to watch me kill Kurdak.
It's what you were made for. It's why the sea spat you out and had you take over my life. It's why you stole me family and stole me ship. If I didn't do what I did and made you who you were, you wouldn't be on the course you're on now. But before the end of this, my friends will make your friends dead. They'll be dancing over the water of Jeopardy Bay with no ropes around their neck. And my friends, don't let you die so easy. They'll make it long, and if you expire before they want you to, they'll bring you right back. They'll keep torturing you. Keep you from death's door, from moving on to the boneyard.
Cassius, you know, maybe lets that wash over him and says, "Perhaps, but your friends, interesting you should call them that. I have a gut feeling that they would have done the same to you at the end of all things. I don't think you're the kind that they would have been in the mood for a long-term relationship with, mate."
"They have been planning this invasion for over a generation. Their plans go back farther than you or I have been setting sail, Vel."
"Well, I'm glad that the pawn knows how long the schemes of the king and queen are."
"Years back, a Chelish flotilla all but destroyed the Wyrmwood. Killed most of me crew. Had me in irons. A literal demon breathing down me neck. And amongst that pain, an angel appeared before me. Her skin as clear and white as Chanjin ceramics. And she had before her a devil's contract. Said that I could sign on the dotted line, or she would see to it that my head separated from my body. Very quick, very painless release. But if she said I signed on to be her cur and kissed her holy symbol, then she would follow me to kill Bonefist, and I would take his place as governor of these shackles. I'd be able to carry out justice as I see fit. Do what I want doing here." "They would have followed their word because they make promises written in their own blood. If they were to back out, well, there'd be hell to pay."
"Well, there's one thing, Harrigan, I've always admired in you. It's your vast ambition and greed. Truly."
"Thank you."
I would be more upset about all of this if you had a small and insignificant vision, but wanting to rule the entire shackles, well, at least we see eye to eye there, mate. But even if they would have eventually put the crown on your head, how long they gave you a leash, how many years you would have been allowed to keep that crown, well, I don't know if you would have been as free as perhaps they made it seem, but it doesn't seem like you were in much of a position to argue with at the time either."
"The coffers in treasures from here to Taldor are lined with the prophets plundered under skull-laden black flags here on the Shackled Sea. Cheliax will have a part of it no matter what. There's no stopping what they're doing from now on, Vel. Even if you take me off the board, that queen will have what she aims for, and she will kill your Hurricane King, whether you want it or not. But what will you do with me? You going to lock me in the bilges of your ship, throw me in a oubliette, forget about me? I've already sold my heart to hell and back again. I've done 10 times worse than what I gave you to others, Cassius, in my many years. Anything you do won't be enough."
"What about your contract? What happens if you can't make good on the words you put in paper and blood?"
He looks over at Nadia, and at this point, maybe some of the other villagers. He's like,
"They take blood from who they can for payment to those below, no matter what."
Cassius maybe has a look of deep thought. You know, he's not quite sure what to do with Harrigan. And
we could take reeds and slide them under his fingernails.
Yeah, I guess we could also plant a bamboo shoot between his legs, but, you know, it might be a little much. But
Cassius, and dip his hands in salt water.
Yeah, Cassius goes up to Nadia and says,
"I think you probably gather from everything we've been talking about that Dwali's crimes are a very, very long list. But if I had to range a guess, you probably would like to see him forgiven. Aye?"
"That boy, he has done things that cannot be forgiven. I do not live in the world that you and he do, sailing upon these seas. But I'd imagine that your Hurricane King might have final rule of what to do and say over a body. But I don't imagine that he would live long after that, regardless.
If any word of what has happened here, or the truth, gets back to Bonefist Eye, he'll probably flay him alive. And he turns and maybe addresses everybody and says, it's clear that neither my family or the people of the village nor Harrigan can return anywhere. With the Chelish breathing down the shackles and Kurdax and Comfy at Fort Hazard, we'll bring them all back to the Isle of Empty Eyes. Figure out what to do with them there.
You want to do a full raid of the fortress here? Grab all the treasures that you can find for...
Sounds good.
Yeah. And now I got a lot of treasure.
Listeners, we're looking at a huge map of the shackles itself, but I don't see where Fort Harrigan is located on the shackles, Patrick.
Yeah, I can mark it with, I don't know, what letter of the alphabet should I use to mark on this pirate map?
You've already used F. Let's use Z for sleeping.
Lowercase J. Here we go. It's in the far northwest kind of corner. It's whereabouts the dot on the J is off of the smoker Gannett Island. So like maybe you can see some gray skies to the south where this volcano is still actively smoking, but it's like not even on the map. It's such a small little island. So
way over there.
Yep. You're a full like day and a half sail away from the Isle of Empty Eyes, the far extremes of the exterior isles of the shackles.
Oh yeah, we'll loot everything, load up and go.
I have a quick question.
Mm-hmm.
Are the Sodden Lands part of the shackles?
You know, they're not really like under pirate control, but they, you know, they're not so much their own nation either.
Mm.
Like the area to the north here doesn't really have any pirate lords over them, so not really.
Okay. Candoso's from the Sodden Lands.
You're from Ramadoom originally.
No, originally from the... Originally from Ramadoom. Spent a lot of time in the Sodden Lands.
Oh, right. In the jungles.
Yeah.
Yes.
No, I was just curious.
It was a long time ago that I wrote that backstory. It's all coming back. It's all coming back to me now.
Like 4 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was half tempted when Patrick was like, oh, you see Harrigan with Nadia, just to be like, who? I don't kill the old woman. Why do I care?
All of you have like three people max in your backstory. I hope you don't forget like one of your three NPC background characters.
Yeah, no. I have
two major ones.
Yeah.
One of them's dead. The other one might be dead. Who knows?
That would be a little Indica Magna. You get back and like... Broke in just from old age, you know.
She's pretty old.
Been a couple years. The dad from the cancer while you were gone.
Oh, jeez.
An art house film,
dude. Speaking of,
A24% dad from the cancer while you was gone.
Rest in peace, Toby.
That's the name of the movie.
I was thinking in my head. Surely Tyler's not going to bring up Toby Keith dying last night. Surely that's not what he's about to say.
Oh, Jabert, how? You know me better than that.
Do I? Do I, though?
Died?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He died from cancer.
Yeah. Oh, he's been struggling with it for a while, but
yeah.
He succumbed last night. Said it was a relatively, you know, as far as it can go, said it was a relatively peaceful passing. So there's that.
Died from a tummy ache, right?
Oh boy!
Biggest tummy ache, the biggest kind of tummy ache. Yeah,
yeah.
People can now know when we recorded this episode because of when you dated it, Jabert.
I'm so sorry. Man, Toby Keith was a huge part of my high school life because high school was all country.
I've seen pictures of you in high school. I can believe that.
Oh yeah, yeah. Absolutely. I used to quote sing him. Oh my goodness. So much.
So funny that
there was like almost no country music in my high school.
I was
Jabert, Rebecca and I grew up in the South, and somehow Tyler is the most redneck.
No. I mean, Toby Keith wasn't like my generation, but like I was like Alan Jackson, Travis Tritt.
See, I went through a country
bit of Tim McGraw, you know,
for about a year in ninth grade. But for me, it was Shania Twain and Faith Hill. Yeah. You know, all the girls.
Well, it also great. Oh yeah, also great.
Those are great. Yeah. Those are great.
Trisha Yearwood. Twain. Yeah, also
I'll
great.
I'll still listen to Shania.
Yeah, a Brooks single mom who works two jobs. Dude,
remember when Brooks and Dunn were like, "We can go solo," and everybody was like, "No,
no, no, nobody wants Brooks or Dunn."
No, sorry, Ronnie, you need to be with the other guy.
Sorry, I was also going through that phase, like when the Dixie Chicks came out, which was a big, big deal. Like, yeah, I mean the Chicks, but yeah.
Dude, awesome. Dixie Chicks, that was...
Yeah, don't dead name them, you jerk.
Remember when...
I'm sorry.
Don't date yourself.
Like, what was this? I can't remember what the song's called, but the Earl's Gotta Die.
Yeah, it's so great. It's so fun to sing along.
So fun to sing along in the time. That was great.
Do you guys want this treasure or...
No. I mean, only if there's a
music.
Yeah, only if there's a signed vinyl copy of the Dixie Chicks.
Are you saying that Toby Keith wasn't a treasure, Patrick?
I don't really know much from Toby Keith. I'm not gonna lie.
I don't have no opinion.
Oh, you don't.
I recognize the name, but can you sing a song for me, Tyler?
Ooh, I love this bar.
Oh jeez, that's every.
The big one he was known for was the post 9/11 song, which was like
the America song.
Yeah. Remember, like we'll put a boot up your ass. It's the American way.
Oh,
hey, Uncle Sam, put your name at the top of his list.
Well, he helped the country heal.
He did,
you know, and in a time when it needed, they put a boot up your backside.
I think the most the thing that he did that I resonated the most with, which is definitely an indicator of how much I listened to or knew of the man, was Red Solo Cup.
Oh yeah,
dude. Red Solo Cup. Yeah. Oh boy.
That's the only one. Yeah. Really.
Toby Keith really was after my time.
Right. So we haven't talked about a lot of the treasure because we've been so busy battling
talking about boat
Fort Harrigan.
Yeah.
Well, you guys, the infiltration team found a whole bunch of magic stuff, and you took some things off of some of the Norgabrites as well. But besides that, we also didn't talk about Gilbrock the Tongue's gear. He has a vial of ghost dust. Yeah, it's all a little slippery. All this stuff. Yeah.
If tonguey has never been an adjective, it is now.
Tonguey. He's got a staff of true healing.
Ooh.
His big old staff, which did not use on himself because he was so busy trying to kill
distracted.
You guys. So busy trying to kill you so well. He has a greater broken tusk pendant that you took off of him. Indeed, it's how it helped him push the sea worm, which was his pet, the one that you fought when you came to the to the isle.
Yep.
Let's see. I've got, there is a treasure hoard in Fort Harrigan, and I'm just rounding up all the weapons and armors from the smugglers and things from the fort. All that together is about 8,000 gold pieces. A couple of holds worth of treasure. The bar in the chamber that you fought Harrigan in, it has about $1,500 worth of fine silver, a collection of alcoholic bottles, some of which are worth, you know, 25 gold pieces, 50 gold pieces here and there. So very, very expensive booze.
If these bottles are alcoholic, I'm going to get them help as best I can.
Wait, I'm confused about how we're doling this out. So does each character get 1,500 gold? Is that what I'm hearing?
No. All the booze together is worth 1,500.
Yeah. Oh. And by the way, we're not selling any of the booze. That's all consuming.
Of course
we're going to consume the booze.
Yeah, I'll just delete that from the treasure hoard. Sorry, I don't even know why I brought it up.
I don't mean booze specifically. I just mean like when all is said and done. I guess we need to figure out if anybody's going to take stuff before we sell it.
Yeah, we're gonna. Yeah, we'll work on all of this. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm guessing the staff of true healing going to a magic user. Probably not selling that. In Harrigan's room, your pirates bring out a number of valuable treasures, some trinkets and things that aren't really valuable. of his time sailing, but there is a +2 striking heavy crossbow with a scope of truth attached to it, a magical, high-level magical item. There is a magical rod of negation, just like a dispel rod. There is an extremely light +2 greater striking mithril cutlass that also has gems in its hilt that you can pop out. It doesn't destroy the weapon. Worth 1,000 gold pieces. A dark wood ship's wheel bearing carvings of wrestling sahugin and mermaids inlaid with gold and pearls worth 4,500 gold pieces. Kind of like a relic of an age of pirates gone past. Barnabas Harrigan apparently owned the skull of the late wretched Baxus, a pirate devil worshiper from many generations ago. There's a number of gold, finely carved teeth, all with demonic runes in them. It could be sold for 3,000 gold pieces.
Dude just had a skull for fun?
Yes. Magical.
Okay. I think they call those giggle skulls. Yeah.
I mean,
just some dude's skull.
I mean, was this dude just playing Sea of Thieves on the side? Is that why? Is that what this is all about?
Yeah, this is like all of Barnabas's crazy earthly possessions. Some potions and lotions on his bedside table, including healing potions major, some greater life boosting oils, and a salve of anti-paralysis. Did I forget anything?
Hope not.
Nope, that's about it. Yeah, so I did not do the math on what all this is together. Some of this stuff maybe you'll want to sell and kind of split, but this, including the other treasure that you've got elsewhere in the fortress, I don't know if you want to divvy out between 8 characters, really kind of puts a a strain on, I think, the finances, having this many characters. But
I think we'll probably take everything that we want to sell, divide it by 4, and then, you know, people can decide how they want to divvy that amount up between their 2 folk.
Okay, yeah, that's fine. If one of your characters doesn't need a ton of gold, I should mention this is after paying off all the pirate crews and things that you needed to pay off, so we don't have to worry.
I thought they all died in the raid.
That math. No, I think maybe a couple of pirates did die, but for the most part, I mean, you had Sandara Quinn was leading the charge, so she was. Yeah, she really have a healer all the time. It's so good. As soon as someone down, she like disengaged combat and tried to bring them back to life. Right. So, yeah, you can load up the Tide Breaker, the Wormwood, and head on back to the Isle of Empty Eyes. Are you burning the fortress as you leave? Or are you leaving it as it stands? What would you like to do with it?
No, I think, is there... It'd be nice if we could. I know there's like a so there's the back entrance, and it would be nice to barricade that so that people can't enter that way. And then there's, I think it was a narrow channel that leads to the dock, right?
Yeah,
single access.
I mean, yeah, there's not a lot of ways up to the main gate of fortress. No.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really want to burn it because we might want it later. But if we could just kind of hide it a little bit or
the giant fortress?
Well, not the fortress, but the entrance to said fortress. You know, like, listen, I just want to put like a speed strip down in the water so that if a boat tries to go over it, you know.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I want to create a nautical speed strip like that the police throw down.
Oh.
But just...
How?
Throw that down.
Why?
Oh, just make a baller.
I don't know, ballards. Patrick. I come up with the ideas. You tell me what skill check to roll, and then we determine if it happens.
Stop stifling his creativity, Patrick.
Yeah, Patrick.
All right, well, think about that, and that will all be a tale for another time here on Dead Men Roll No Crits. What exactly Tyler's thinking about trapping the harbor with. Here, I have no clue where he's going with that one. I just was wondering if you're burning the fort, so there'd be a very cool image as you guys like sail away in the middle of the night from it. But it's fine not to burn it.
Do not cross tape.
It's. I mean, there's really no. I mean, it would be worth something to someone. It's kind of like way out here, you know.
Yeah.
The Styx is probably picked for its remoteness. But yeah, all that is a tale for another time here on the podcast.
All right.
Thank you for playing with me, everybody.
Thank you, Patrick.
Thank you, Patrick.
Yahar. We've got a traitor in the hold. You've got all of his coveted gold stuff. And
his hold gold.
Why can't I
hold all this gold in this hold?
All his bold hold gold. That's going to do it for us, Patreon Pirates, Freebie Captains. Thank you for listening. And yeah, that's the start of book 6. And you guys level up to level 18. I'm just kidding.
Oh my goodness.
Can you imagine?
Can you imagine? Stop it. Stop it.
No. You got so much money. You got experience from it.
No. We will catch you on the next week's episode of Dead Men Roll No Crits. Bye, everyone. Yahar.
Yahar.
Pirate noises.
What do we do with a drunken sailor? What do we do with a drunken sailor? What do we do with a drunken sailor?